dead of night, seeking out broadcasting injustice wherever it appears. Only one man can wield it. Media Bat with Tim Bat, only on 95BFM.
Morena, Tim.
We can't talk about The Bachelorette.
Well, we can, but I mean...
There's a new season of The Bachelorette.
Premier
reality
in the
TV
media.
In New Zealand.
Well, it's going to be one of the better things New Zealand produces, right?
I don't know about better, but it's kind of important-ish. I haven't seen it. I haven't seen
Neither.
The first episode, and hand on my heart, probably won't watch any of it. But I respect the importance of these shows. They rate through the roof.
They do.
They employ
really
a lot
do.
Of people. They
also,
do.
It's a big form of escapism for some people. Really.
Absolutely
hard
true.
Out. You know, if you need that, no judgment here.
And for better or worse, in 2021, they're kind of one of the main way that we see ourselves reflected in the media.
It's also crack up in New Zealand because you always know someone on the show. You're like, hey, that's my friend's cousin. You
who
know?
Do you know?
Oh, I'm not going to tell you, but I do know someone on the show.
I know Itai, but I heard he got kicked out.
That might not be out yet. Oh, okay. Day one.
Well, he didn't tell me. I read it somewhere online.
Oh,
so.
Okay. Spoiler
well,
alert.
Well, there we go.
I think I read that in the spin-off. So the spin-off spoiled it. Is the first episode out yet?
I think it's all out.
I haven't watched it. I saw a picture because The Bachelor is someone that... someone I know.
See, this is the thing. Everybody knows someone on reality TV in New Zealand.
Here's what's happened.
We're too small.
Should we mention The Bachelorette? And there was a discussion about whether or not that would rock up the listenership of the very cool people of BFM. But the reality is, we don't know what the F we're talking about anyway, so it's all a bit moot.
Hey, what else is going on in the media, Tim?
Well, Ratana has happened,
yes.
Which is sort of like a gathering that is a precursor and a bit of a temperature taking for how things, well, amongst other things, like its own very important event that happens where politicians and political media descend onto Ratana Church in Ratana Pa, which is in Whanganui. And there are a lot of discussions between Māori and the government that happened there, a lot of like airing of grievances and discussions about how things will move forward. It's a big event every year. It's like a real marquee event on the political calendar. There's just shy of 50,000 members of Ratana Church, which is like a Māori church and iwi collective nationwide. And so this year it actually got trimmed right back in terms of attendance. And this happened last week, I believe. But there were only Labour MPs in attendance, which is quite unusual. Usually there's at least leaders from other political parties. And there was also less representation from the political press as well. And that has been reported to be owed to a conflict between the executive at the church and the pa itself, disagreeing on who should come this year, who should be in attendance. Lee Marama McLaughlin, who used to work for RNZ as a reporter, and now she is the communications manager for Ngā Tāngata Tiaka or Whanganui, and she's also a reporter at the Whanganui Chronicle. She said, hey, you know what? Not such a bad thing that there was less Pākehā press and politicians there this year, because every year we kind of do this dance and in the media it gets like sort of whitewashed and overshadowed by just where the white politicians are trying to chase the Māori vote and how successful they were, whereas there's actually like some big important conversations happening there.
Totally.
So that's a thing that's happening, which may be potentially a bit of a clue as to how it's going to go at Waitangi this year. I was just talking to a mate of mine actually who's a Māori academic from Northland over the weekend, and just discussing what's going to happen at Waitangi, because with COVID in the air, like, a lot of people are very worried and trying to carve back the numbers, because there's obviously some elderly and vulnerable populations, you know, that could be exposed up there. So that'll be an interesting one to watch. The other big media story, which played out last week, I was kind of gutted because it happened moments after I left the studio last week. So John Banks was on Magic Talk and took a caller from a guy who described Māori culture as Stone Age. And instead of John Banks doing the remotely human thing of ending the call, he not only didn't do that, but he doubled down on that caller's comments, got immediately fired, but only after a whole bunch of advertisers, including Vodafone and some banks, threatened to pull all of their money out of Magic Talk.
I think a lot of them have pulled their money
Vodafone
now.
Vodafone pulled it out completely.
That's true, actually, I think Cricket New Zealand sort of threatened, if nothing happened, that they were going to pull the commentary as well, but it's because they fired John Banks, that didn't happen. So this has triggered a discussion about the role of talkback radio in New Zealand, which is sort of this never-ending parade of racism, I would call.
Yeah.
Particularly, like, Newstalk ZB is the number one rating station on radio in New Zealand. It's a talkback station. It is aimed squarely at older, more conservative people, and it, like... The shit that gets said on that station on a weekly basis is frickin' wild. So there's been really good think pieces from the spin-off. Duncan Greaves written a piece. A friend of mine, Joshua Drummond, who's a great writer, did a piece on his Substack being like, what should happen next? And yeah, it's kind of an interesting one because there does seem to be this assumption that talkback, especially in New Zealand, has to be right-wing and hyper-controversial and really derisive.
Mm-hmm.
And there just doesn't seem to be any good examples of talkback being done in any other way.
Yeah.
And, like, even in my lifetime, and I am an old man, I can only think of a few examples of in New Zealand it being done remotely centre or left centre.
Yeah.
And one was way back in the day when Martin Bradbury used to do a youth talkback station on Channel Z. And then there was Radio Live, which is what Magic Talk used to be before it transformed into that, which had like Marcus Lush and Ali Moore was on there and some other left-ish wing people. But hasn't been around for a long time. So there's kind of a conversation going, do we scrap talkback or do we try and transform it into something useful?
I didn't follow after they fired John Banks. Has someone else stepped in there?
He was filling in anyway. He was in a fill-in role. Yeah.
And so who's the front of that now?
I can't remember.
Mm. I'd be interesting to see who they replaced him with.
I can't remember, what the slot was, but he was filling in anyway, so he was never going to be there permanently. It was so utterly unshocking as well.
I think
he's
that's
just saying
the
same.
I was going to say that's like it's one of those stories where you think this, the you know, I wish we were all shocked and horrified by this, but there's nothing really surprising about that whole situation happening in the first place.
Two things you could set your watch to in New Zealand: any government being terrified of introducing a capital gains tax, and John Banks saying racist stuff. Those are the only things you can bank on here.
Hey, thank you very much, Tim. Always a pleasure to have you in the studio.
Catch you next week.
Catch you next week.
Come back next week for another exciting adventure on Media Bat, only on 95 BFM. And